Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me. This morning I have a returning guest who's been on the program not that long ago. With me in the studio this morning is Will Wynn. Will, good to see you. Welcome back.
Good morning, Phil. I'm glad to be back with you. It's always a joy and a pleasure for me.
Will is a resident here in Bakersfield. He is also an ordained minister and one that cares very, very deeply about what we're going to be turning our attention to this morning on this broadcast and probably one additional broadcast, and that is what I would label as homosexuality, the church in crisis. So, Will, we're going to jump right into the deep rock from the get-go. Okay with you?
Well, I mean, as we have spoken in our pre-broadcast discussion, to say the church is in crisis would be, I think, the least we could say about the condition of too much of the church today. Yes. Around the world.
Well, as you know, at His Way Out Ministries, we have for many, many years, for lack of better expression, we've been ringing the alarm bell both here in the States and abroad, more specifically throughout the Caribbean and South America, that the crisis that we have faced for quite a long time, and the crisis I would submit that we continue to face today, really is no longer about homosexuality. As I see it, it is more the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. We seem to be getting further and further away from the truth and the authority of God's Word, not only on this subject matter, but on others as well. Would you agree?
I would agree. In fact, I think, well, because the church is in crisis, it, in my understanding, it means the church is not doing what it was called to do, that we're not making disciples. We are not doing what we need to do in the world, and therefore we find the reflection of the church in crisis in what's happening literally in our culture and our society. Yes. I mean, what can we say? Homosexuality is part of the issue.
Yes.
But because the church is in crisis, we have this acronym, this LBGTTQQGFP, we were talking about it before, we keep adding to that because of the deviancy that is occurring within the culture and society, and that too much of the church is just closing their eyes to because of their feelings, their empathy for people in general, and their merciful gifting, I believe, which is good. But yes, anything that's good, yes, even mercy, even compassion, even to accept and welcome people in the love of Christ, taken to an extreme, literally turns into something that can be very, very evil when you start considering people and the way that they're operating in sin by being compassionate and merciful, but by accepting that or by approving somehow because of your welcoming heart. It allows for all kinds of other things to happen. I think we've talked about it. It's in terms of a Pandora's box model, if you
yes
want. It opens the door for every kind of sexual deviancy you can think of. And these things are not new.
No, they're not.
They're not new. Historically, we can look back in the Scripture. We can look back in the history of the church. These are not new things. This continues to plague the church and keep it in crisis.
Yes. My concern, and I believe yours as well, and many, many others, is that we believe, we continue to view the church as God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity.
Yes.
And that would include, of course, men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. And I would submit where we stand today, for those that are wanting to address their same-sex attraction and live their lives according to the authority of Scripture, if they cannot come into the church and receive the love, encouragement, and support that they will need for the journey out of this particular form of brokenness, where else are they to go?
they don't have a place to go. I think I remember Chuck Swindoll one time on a broadcast that he gave, and he spoke about a man that he had led to Christ. And he noticed as he was coming to church, he was just kind of isolated. No one was really kind of sitting with him in the pew or whatever. And he began to be concerned, and he went up and he talked to him, and he said something about, well, how are you doing? And he said, well, Pastor, frankly, he said, I think I'd rather go back to the bar because I feel more comfortable back there.
Mm.
And, you know, how do we welcome these kinds of issues, you know, into the church without compromising what the Scripture gives us as an absolute?
Yes.
And without compromising the truth of what God's Word says. Boy, it's a very, very delicate balance that we need to have in order to be able to minister to, well, every kind of aberrant issue when people bring that in to the church,
yes.
The baggage. I've dealt with it a couple times specifically, and I remember a family with a girl that was really struggling with same-sex attraction, and her mother came to me and said, well, what are we to do? She wants to come to church. The problem is she wanted to come to church and to take the sacraments, to take communion, but she was not repentant. And this is one of the major issues that I see, unfortunately, within the homosexual community and within the homosexual community and the LGBT group within the church. I mean, let's face it. It's right now, the leaven is there, and it has grown. The question is, what do you do with this sin area? Well, it has to be repented of, just like any other sin area.
Yes.
I mean, you don't see people across the country in cities holding adulterers' parades or all kinds of other sinful kinds of conduct, having a celebration of that in a parade, marching down the street. I mean, the church has got to have this wisdom to be able to take in and to love and to care for and to encourage and to disciple. I think that's the key word.
Yes.
The Great Commission really wasn't to go out and make converts. It was to make disciples of all nations, to bring the discipline of the Word of God and the faith that they exercised in Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord, baptized and walking out in a life that is supposed to be exemplary and Christ-like. We have to understand how to be able to do that.
It's abundantly clear, too, throughout God's Word that He has a lot to say about His divine intent for human sexuality. And if we are truly going to disciple men and women, if we do not address human sexuality to help both men and women once again to live their lives within God's well-defined holy boundary lines, if we're not discipling men and women in this truth, how can we possibly say that full discipleship has taken place?
Well, one of the things I think has to happen, Phil, is that, first of all, believers need to know the Word of God.
Yes.
For themselves.
Yes.
They must have that within them. I mean, in the Psalms, we see all of these references in Psalm 119 and other references when David writes here, says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We see in Psalms earlier, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's the work of the sword of the Spirit of God within us. And I think, as I had a friend the other day, we were talking about this issue, the struggle because the homosexual, the same-sex attracted area speaks so much of God's love and God loving them.
Yes.
And that they are essentially, which is an error, created that way. The only way that we're all created that way is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior,
yes.
In need of a holy God. And that's the requirement, that when we receive Christ as Savior, we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It's not some other spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that must be within us, sanctifying us and working out in us the kind of maturity that we need to have, literally preparing us to spend an eternity with a holy God.
Yes.
That's what beats in my heart.
Yes. Well, as you well know, this is a topic that I speak to both personally and professionally. And I search my heart and my mind, traveled back some 33 years ago in October of 1985 when I surrendered my life to Christ and said goodbye to 17 years then living as a gay-identified man. Had it not been at that very point in my life, had it not been for a church that welcomed me and discipled me and mentored me and held me to some very, very defined truthful scripture.
Sure.
Had they not held me to the truth and the authority of God's word, I don't know that you and I would be sitting here right now having this conversation.
Well, I know. And the same for me. I'm thankful for the discipling I had in my life from godly parents. Mm. And that was so planted in me and my grandparents that I understand the importance of making sure my kids, my children, my grandchildren, who are, at this time I've got 7 on the East Coast, but thank God for the kind of phone connection we have and the Skyping and all the rest that we can have and the visiting that we have, that I see them all greatly involved in the work of the true church. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, okay.
The elect of God, who knows what it means in order to promulgate the gospel and the faith that we need to have in Christ from generation to generation. And I think some of the failure of the church, as we call that, I think is because we haven't even perpetuated this through families, let alone being able to go out into situations and in all situations to be light and salt, to be able to show forth that light of God.
Yes.
That should be the kind of attraction that would bring people to us, just like Peter on the day of Pentecost and said, what must we do to be saved?
Yes, yes. Well, it seems to me that you and I would agree that it is correct and appropriate to label what has transpired and what is transpiring even today in the church regarding homosexuality, indeed, as a crisis. But again, I would submit the ultimate crisis, as I see it, is the authority of Scripture. We're getting so much further away from God's Word, and we're paying a price for it.
I agree. And again, in many ways, I don't think that the church has emphasized the importance of the truth of God's Word. Let me just say quickly, Jesus, John chapter 17, that wonderful prayer that he gave, the statement that he gave in there concerning God's Word is that it is something that is what sanctifies us. We get back to the holy aspect of our lives and living. The sanctification of the Word of God is what Jesus said specifically was the sanctification of the truth.
Yes.
Which is the Word.
Right.
Which is the Scripture. And I think we need to hold fast to that. I think we need to, again, without having it in our hearts and in our minds, then how do we withstand the challenges against the authority of the Word and against, and we just talked about this earlier, the statement that is coming out of the gay community concerning the Bible is that it is not absolute,
right,
that it is in flux. And for those of you out in our listening land out here, if you see something flying in a banner outside a particular church that you get confused about, I was confused too until I began to do a little research. Even locally here, there were banners flying outside a church. It's been a couple, 3 years ago. And they were banners that had a large comma on them. And I thought, what in the world is that? But I began to do a little research, especially back into the gay community. The comma being flown on a banner is significant. It signifies in their understanding that God's word was not ended with a period. Now listen carefully. God's word ended with a comma, and they claim to have a new anointing, a fresh anointing, which literally allows them to make alterations, adjustments, and changes to the holy word of God.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that identifies a cult is when they make changes that try to take away the deification of Jesus Christ, or they make changes to fit or justify their sinfulness. And that's exactly what's going on here.
Yes.
So instead of repenting by looking at the Word of God that they see themselves in, but they turn away and forget what they look like, they are coming against the Scripture, I'm sorry, which clearly defines, in my understanding, apostasy, a falling away. And when you start messing with God's Word, and the Scriptures itself says and condemns that, when you start falling away, you fall into heresy.
Yes. And the comma also represents why now we have pro-gay theologians,
yes,
pro-gay apologists, and yes, revisionists that have taken the scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament, where God clearly states very, very clearly that no man or woman is to practice homosexual behavior, not unlike other behaviors, but he's very specific about homosexual practice. But we have all these individuals that have taken the scriptures and rewritten them in an attempt to validate practicing a behavior in which God says clearly is sin.
It is. And honestly, in the last days, Jesus said, there would be many that would come in my name, claiming to be Christ, that is, claiming to be anointed of God, and will deceive many.
Yes.
I took this off a wall of a church because it's so insightful in terms of the deception. And the enemy is so clever. He knows the word. He knows the word. He used the scripture against Christ when he was allowed to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. He knows the word. But listen to this. Here's something that came out of a gay theology. The Lord has more truth yet to break forth out of his holy word. He has more truth to break forth out of his holy word. Well, the understanding is, who is that truth coming from? Where is that truth coming from?
Right.
How do we measure whether it's true or not? How do we measure whether it is God's word? Ah, yes. If we don't have believers, if we don't have Christians who know the word, then they can't figure out what's true and what's not, and they're very easily taken in and deceived. When Paul went to the Berean church, a classic case, when he went up before the Berean church in that little synagogue dispersion church, it said they took the scripture and they evaluated everything he said from what they had as the word.
Right.
We call that the Old Testament, but we have to understand that that's just as much God's word.
Yes.
As New Testament writings, which were never formalized and canonized until, 300 AD or so.
Yes. My personal concern is based upon a number of conversations I've had lately, primarily with young men and young ladies. My concern before some of these conversations took place was they're challenging, well, the Bible isn't clear. The Bible doesn't state that homosexual practice is sinful. So we go back to the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. But, Will, what I'm hearing more today is a complete dismissal of the Bible as it's obsolete. It doesn't apply to us today. So I would submit that the crisis is growing.
Oh, it is. And one of the primary things that I hear that is a lie out of the gay community is Jesus never said anything about homosexuality.
Specifically.
Yeah, specifically. Okay, I'm sorry if you're a good Bible student and you understand what the word is saying, and if you have a good grasp of the language, and you don't have to be a multilingualist in order to be able to figure out what's true and what's not. In fact, before I came down here, I was just thinking about that. I've got like six scriptures where Jesus speaks about fornication or fornications. The key word there, the root word there, is porneo. And when you go into the theological dictionary of the New Testament, for all of you who are students of the word and you have that 10-volume suite by the German scholars that put that together, it is probably the most authoritative, the most correct understanding of word usage from the New Testament, from the Old Testament, from the Septuagint, and all of those texts that we have out there. It specifically shows Jesus taking very, very direct stands on porneo, which, and those that do porneo, which are porneos, to understand that it is the wide range of all kinds of sexual deviancy, the wide range of all kinds of sexual perversion, the wide range of all kinds of sexual sinning that we have identified clearly in the scripture.
And isn't that why God the Father has been crystal clear in his word that today, if you are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, in terms of sexual expression, faithful followers of Christ have two options only. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to live within those holy boundary lines of matrimony. That's option one.
Yes.
Option two revolves around a question, and the question being, are you single? If the answer is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period.
That's it.
Now, you can't get around that. That's very, very clear in God's word.
No, it is very clear. And and very difficult for people who are caught in the trap of human sexual sinfulness to admit and to give up, to literally ask forgiveness for and put that behind them.
Yes. And, well, the dividing line seems to be whether the Bible is inspired and without error in its original delivery to the prophets from God, or whether it's just some collection of man-made myths and man-made opinions. That comes down to the individual choosing and deciding. For me, if you're a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, you take the Bible in its entirety or not at all. And again, God has a lot to say in His Word about what is permissible in His sight regarding sexual expression.
Yep, I believe that. And again, getting back to how wise and how incredibly profound the Word of God is, that when we deviate from that, it's incredible that it begins to impact the culture and the society around us. I'm amazed when we start thinking about the church and its failure and its crisis that we're in today, of how that has spun off and has gone into the culture. The church really doesn't any longer absolutely oppose the sexual deviancy that the world is in. There's all this confusion about what
the lowering the bar.
Exactly. What's right and what's wrong. The result is a general cultural acceptance of that gay movement thinking. Look at what it's done. It's moved into society. Now it's moved into government. I mean, my goodness, the Supreme Court of the United States has approved gay marriage, Phil.
Throughout the nation.
Well, of course. And what can we say about that? The demands on Christians in government by law, which are requiring approval and acceptance of this kind of lifestyle, this kind of sinning. We dealt with, what, AB 2943?
Yes.
In regard to being able to counsel people to get out of that lifestyle.
Which is by no means dead.
It is not. It's sitting there in limbo,
yes.
And it's a mess. But look at what's facing Christian businesses. They can't participate. The government is forcing them or trying to force them to participate in gay thinking events even, and gay thinking in marriages and stuff, to force a baker to bake a cake for a gay marriage, or a florist to do the flowers for a gay marriage. I even hear locally, I won't mention any names, but I had opportunity to talk a lot in one of these elections when an elected local official was put under great pressure by the gay community here to find out whether they were going to march in the gay parade here locally.
Hmm.
Well, it was a question that stumped this person. I mean, specifically, they didn't know how to get back, how to share the absolute truth of God's word, that they would not participate in that. They would represent them. They are due representation under the articles in the Constitution, where an elected official represents them. But that doesn't mean that an elected representative is obligated to march in some kind of an event that violates their Second Amendment or their First Amendment rights and their beliefs. Difficult. You can see how the confusion comes in here.
Yes.
It's a madhouse.
Absolutely. Well, I would submit also, when God is alleged to sanction that which is a direct contradiction of Scripture, truly a religious travesty is being played out. And it's played out boldly, especially here in America.
Yep, it is. And perhaps it's because we are so blessed with the kind of freedom that rarely you see around the world.
Yes. Freedom. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, but that freedom can be extrapolated into licentiousness, Phil. And I know that Paul warned that. He said, yes, we're free, but don't use your freedom as a justification for your sin.
Right.
And that's what happened. So that was going on even back in New Testament days. It's not a new issue. Give people freedom, and what will they do? I don't know. I mean, that's the choice issue there, even from the beginning, when God gave them one command to eat of any tree in the garden. They could partake of anything that was there. The only thing that they could not do was to eat of and to enjoy or to look after or to lust after the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes. Well, one reason I wanted to have this conversation is because I still believe the church holds the only answer there is to this present crisis that we have faced and we continue to face. Now, it's easy to point a finger, and heaven knows there's room, all kinds of room for improvement. But the church still holds the answer, but we've got to address it. And I'm concerned that as time goes on, marches on, more and more Christian leaders are taking the silent mode approach. They're saying nothing, doing nothing. And that greatly concerns me.
Yes, it concerns me too. And to get back to what we were talking about before in terms of welcoming those that are struggling with same-sex attraction, or let's say any kind of sexual deviancy, how do we make that welcoming the kind of welcoming that essentially not only holds our feet to the fire, but holds their feet to the fire? And as I said, when dealing with the issue of someone who was a proclaiming lesbian and whether or not they could come to the Lord's table and partake, my question was, are you coming just like everybody else as a sinner in need of forgiveness? Mm. And as the Word tells us when we come to the Lord's table, let a man, let a woman examine themselves. These are kinds of things that we need to have as far as our heart and to understand when people come in the door of the church, and unfortunately everybody looks at the structure, when people come into the fellowship of, let's say, a body of believers, to determine whether they are there to say, I'm here, I'm the way God created me, and you just have to accept me that way, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Or is it, God forgive me, a sinner.
And I need help.
I need help.
And I need love and encouragement for this journey because I can't do it alone.
Exactly. Not only from God, but from
his people.
From the born-again believers that are there that are the disciples.
Exactly. Well, I knew jumping into this topic that you and I were going to be turning our attention to this morning. It's going to take more than one broadcast. So you're coming back again next week so we can continue this conversation, right?
Absolutely.
I greatly appreciate what you've shared and what you're contributing to this topic. And again, for everyone listening this morning, Will be with me again next week. I hope you'll tune in and join us. Same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.